But I want to share with you a message this morning that I have entitled Lost in the House. Lost in the House. It comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, St. Luke chapter 15. And this is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. I like to refer to it as the lost and found chapter. And there are three stories that Jesus tells. Oh, I love that God, our loving Savior, would tell us the truths of God in a way that we can understand it, you know. Not complicated. He tells it in story form so that you and I can put ourselves into that situation and come to an understanding of what God's plan is and what God's will is. And so we find that in this 15th chapter of the book of Luke. It's interesting that the first couple of verses of this chapter say that all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him, that is Jesus, and the Pharisees, that was the religious crowd. So now we got the tax collectors, the sinners, the Pharisees, and the scribes. And they complained, saying of Jesus, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And aren't you glad that he does?
Amen.
Glory to God. You and I would have never got in otherwise, don't you see? So it's in response to this mixed crowd that Jesus goes on to give these parables. The first one is of the lost sheep, and it's a beautiful story. The second one is of the lost coin. And the third is about the lost son. For the sake of time this morning, I want to reference the verses that deal with the lost coin. The reality is that we get a picture of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this chapter. And we get a picture of them doing the greatest work, the greatest miracles that have ever been done, and that is the miracle of changing a life from being sin-bound to become a child of God. We sang about it in one of the songs this morning. I love that song, Veronica. I'm no longer a slave to fear and sin, but I am a child of God. We made that declaration. I can remember that day when it happened in my life. Can you remember the day? Can you remember the time? I hope that you can. But that's the greatest miracle of God. Thank God for all the things, all the miracles we see in the Bible, but the greatest miracle is to be able to redeem a life from sin and the bondage of sin, and to set us free and to bring us into freedom, that the chains would fall off and we become redeemed and in fellowship with God. The greatest miracle. And here we see the entire Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you look at the story of the lost sheep, it's clearly the picture of Jesus, who goes out and leaves the 99 in the fold, but goes out for one sheep. Amen. The sheep is a wanderer. Sheep will wander. He goes after the wanderer. When you look at the story of the prodigal son, it's very, very clear that it's a picture of the father. In fact, the father is a very prominent figure in that story. And he's the father of two sons. One son who appears to be the older son and the, you know, the goody two-shoe guy. rebellious son. I dare say in this house today, we've got all kinds. And the father longingly waits for his son and lovingly receives his son. Even though he squandered his living in rebellion and in the depths of sin. So we see Jesus retrieving the lost sheep, the father going after the lost son, and in the middle we see a coin. Well, let's read it together. It's found in the Luke chapter 15 and beginning at verse 8. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she find it? And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The parable of the lost coin gives us a picture of the Holy Spirit at work. Now, if you come Wednesday night, we want to do some teaching on the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is that part of the Godhead, that part of the Trinity, that reaches out to every individual and works in our lives in a way that is unique to yourself. Unique. It's unique to you. It's between you and God. It's the work of the Spirit. Jesus actually said at one point, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to teach you and guide you and lead you. And what a marvelous thing that you and I live in this day and age when we can actually know in our inner being, in our inner self, the working of the Holy Spirit of God. It's precious, folks. It's wonderful. It's a you and God thing. It's the mindfulness of God to your uniqueness. You know that none of us are exactly the same. You know, Sharon and I are doing this DNA thing now. You know, my son got me involved with it. I was happy the way I was. I thought I was 100% Italian. I was happy with it, you know. Now I'm finding out I got a little this and a little that. But thank God for the redeeming blood of Jesus. I'm a child of God. That I know. That I know. That I know. It's interesting that the coin, unlike the sheep, the coin was not wandering. There was no rebelliousness necessarily in the coin. The coin was simply lost. And Roger, it wasn't lost because of what it did. It was lost because of somebody who lost it. It's interesting that Jesus, telling this parable, uses the fact that it was a woman who lost, who had the lost coin. Have you ever lost anything in your house? You know, in the house, so near and yet so far. I've lost a lot of stuff in the house. And I gotta tell you, I'm not very good at finding it, but I got a wife. Women are better at finding things than men are, I think. I got to give it to you ladies today. I'll tell you what, my wife can, you know, I might shuffle a few papers and move a few things, but if she's going to find something, I'll tell you what, she'll just tear up the house if she has to do it. She'll find it. 9 out of 10 times, she's going to find it. She has found it when it was right in front of me and I couldn't see it. Women are good at finding things. And he likens the work of the Holy Spirit to this woman who does some very important things. Only a couple verses here, but they're powerful. And we see that the she begins to light a light. She gets a candle. They tell me in those days the house would be dark and there were very little for outside light coming in. And so she had a light of light. I meant to bring some props with me this morning and I forgot them. But she, you know, my wife's got these little flashlights, little ones. They're just real little, but boy, are they bright. And she'll take that thing with her. She takes it with her and, you know, she'll find stuff. So this she the scripture says she lit a candle, and she took that candle, and she began to shine it here and there and everywhere that she could. The Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. In the seven declarations of the I Am of Christ, one of them was, I am the light of the world. And though, you know, folks, we live in a day and age when we compare ourselves by ourselves. And the Bible says that's not very smart. It's not very wise. We compare ourselves by ourselves. We say, you know, I might not be too good, but I'm better than he is. Or I'm better than she is. But you know what? They're not our example. Jesus Christ is our example. And he's the light of the world. And if we'll bring him into the scene, he sheds light on the whole thing. And he's the one who can show us, you know, that the error in our way. He can show us that we've got sin in our lives. And he deals with us. I'm so glad that he does. He deals. The Holy Spirit is faithful to deal with us. Brings that light of Christ in. The picture. Jesus is able to take and transform us by his power alone. The scripture says in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 12, one of the first verses I ever learned when I became a Christian. It simply says, for the Son, but as many as receive Christ, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. Now that's a prolific verse. It stands strong to this day. There's no other way, folks. It's only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I wish that just coming inside the church would assure us a place in heaven. But that ain't the way it works. I go in and out of my garage, but I'm not a car. The church is where Christians gather. The house of God we make reference to. And thank God for it. It's a wonderful place. But it's only Jesus Christ that can save us from our sin. It's only by the work of the Holy Spirit that we can acknowledge that we are sinners and we need Jesus as our Savior. It's interesting that the coin was lost, very probably somewhere on the floor. The floors in those days were not fine carpet like this or even wood floors, but they were dirt floors most generally. So along with her light, she brought a broom. And she began to sweep and stir around that dust on the floor and the dirt around about. And you know, you've heard the old adage, new broom sweeps clean. Well, let me tell you something. This little lady was going to clean. She was going to find that coin. That coin was worth, in today's value, probably $100 or $200. In that day, it was, a lesser value. But today, it'd be like having $1,000 and losing 100. I tell you what, I'd light a light and look for that $100. I believe I would. I believe I'd sweep around, see if I couldn't shuffle it up somewhere. That broom, interesting thing. Says she took the broom and swept the house and searched carefully until she found it. Jesus is the light of the world. The scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 130, the unfolding of your word gives light and understanding. Let me say something to you today, church. If there was ever a time we needed to know the word of God, it's in the state and age that we live. I'm telling you, we really need to know the scriptures. We need to feed on God's word. The entrance of your word brings light. We live in an anything-goes world, but if we'll get the Word of God and shine the Word of God on the issues and the situations that we deal with today, it'll give us the right way to go, the direction of God. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy Word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. You may be dealing with issues today and you don't know what you're going to do. I would encourage you to get into the Word of God and start praying. Let the light of God shine on your situation. The Holy Spirit brings that stirring up and that sweeping of the house, the searching carefully. He shines the spotlight of God's Word upon our lives. She sought carefully. I love this so much. This is the work of the Lord. She sought carefully until she found it. Do you know that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has been dogging your steps from the time of your birth to this present hour? God, by His Holy Spirit, is mindful of every one of us. And the entirety of the Godhead is in this thing of seeking out men. The scripture clearly says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is His constant vision. His greatest desire is that no man perish, but that all would come to repentance. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know what was lost? You know what it's really saying is, Jesus has come to redeem what otherwise was hopelessly lost. There's no other way. This whole thought of being lost in the house. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, I want to read these two verses to you. It says, search me, O God, Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I dare you to pray that prayer. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and my anxious thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I think as Christians, we ought to pray that. We ought to pray it from time to time. We ought to search our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit search our hearts. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that the Holy Spirit is so faithful to deal with me when I step out of line. I mean, on this, many times on the smallest issues, the Holy Spirit said, no, 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 that ain't right. Don't do that. He's faithful. Search me, O God. Search me, God. You know what I like about that passage? That last line. And lead me in the way. Say it with me.
Everlasting.
You know what the way everlasting is? That's talking about eternity. That's talking about heaven. Lord, I want to go all the way. I want to go all the way. Lead me in the way everlasting. Hallelujah. A diligent search. The work of the Holy Spirit. Showing us the way of God. Showing us the way of eternity. The scripture says in John chapter 4, verse 23. The Father seeketh such to worship him. The Lord is seeking worshipers. God is on a search. The Old Testament scripture says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those to whom he can show himself and reveal himself. God wants to reveal himself to you today. You've been going your own way. You've been doing your own thing. Jesus wants to reveal himself today. The eyes of the Lord. God is faithful to seek us out. A careful search. We're not here by accident this morning. The Lord is still at work in these days and age. He wants to show us the way everlasting. I can't imagine anything worse than to be in the house of God and not be in fellowship with God. Being lost in the house. I may have shared bits and pieces of my testimony with you before, but I want to share a little bit with you again this morning. I think it's really important, folks, that we, no matter how long we've been a Christian, we need to keep our testimony, our story of God's dealing with us intact. We need to share it from time to time. There's many of you that I've not heard your story. I would like to hear your story. And we used to have what we called testimony meeting. Anybody remember that? Some of you remember that. And I'm not just talking about, you know, good things that happen along the way, but the story that tells how God got hold of our hearts. That unique story. There's no story like your story. There's no story. There's no story like your story. Because again, it's that unique working of God. It's the way the Holy Spirit dealt with you. And there's none like it in the world. And it's precious. It's valuable. And I think we need somehow to bring that out again. We need to share it. We need to fine-tune it in this day and age and be prepared to share it. The Bible tells us that. Be prepared to share with people. Be prepared. I was raised in the church, okay? I was raised in the church. My father and my mother were Christian people. My dad was very involved as a Christian businessman, as a Gideon. You've heard of the Gideons. And my mother was a godly woman. We had prayer in our house. Oh, yes, we had prayer in our house. We had a lot of Bibles in our house. But I was lost in the house. I'm one of eight children, and I went to church. I went to church just about every Sunday. fact, we never asked, are we going to church today? We just got ready and went. Our church happened to be a Methodist church. I was confirmed. I went to confirmation classes. Anybody here ever do that? Okay, good. It's good. Don't hurt you a bit. Don't get you into heaven, but it won't hurt you at all. I got confirmed. I think I was sprinkled. But I was lost. I was lost in the house. I know my mother prayed for me. Can I tell you something, Mom? Dads, pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for loved ones and family. I know my mother prayed for me, as she did the other children. And one long weekend, my brother and I, Brother Chuck, he's a pastor in Abilene, we went on a kind of a wild weekend for a 15-year-old. We came home from that weekend, and my cousin Ted came by our house, and here's what he was older than we were, and in his way, he said, "You guys are going to church with me tonight." Ted went to a different church. Ted went to a church much like the brownstone. In fact, I recall it kind of looked like this building. The pews were like these pews. They say that the majority of people who come to church and visit a church come because somebody invited them. That's fact. We went with Ted. We felt like it was going or else who knows what Ted might do. So Chuck and I went with Ted. They were in revival at that church. They had an evangelist there, and he had been there already about 3 or 4 weeks. And he preached a powerful message that night, but I could not tell you today. I can't recall what he preached. But here's what I remember, folks. Here's what I remember, and it's so vivid in my mind. I remember the Holy Spirit when he gave his altar call. I remember how the Holy Spirit tugged at my heart so strong, making me aware of my need to receive Jesus as my Savior. It was so strong that I had to hold on to the pew. I remember that. And finally, I'm not sure if it was Chuck or I don't know who released their hold first, but we got up and went to an altar and found Christ that night, and our lives have never again been the same. It was a transforming night. The work of the Holy Spirit found some lost coins that had been in the house, but their value and their image was tarnished because the Bible says we're made in the image of God. The Bible says we have value to God. Oh, I appreciate the message Pastor Steve preached last week on the value. The value. But can I tell you something? A coin out of circulation, a coin that's been covered with dirt, a coin that's loses it. The value is there, but it's not being used. It's not being circulated. It's of no good. Holy Spirit shed his light on our hearts that night. The Holy Spirit swept clean this old heart that night. We went home after our altar experience and our lives were changed by the power of God. We went home. I'll never forget. My father was a milkman. He owned a dairy, but he ran routes. He'd get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. That's when they used to bring the milk to your house. How many remember that? And Dad was in bed. We came in and said, "Mom, we got saved tonight, Chuck and I. We've been born again." She rejoiced. She woke up my father. My father got up. He got dressed. He went to the dairy, got some fruit juice, came back. We celebrated with the new wine. The wine, raspberry juice, I think it was. We celebrated. Jesus said, "There's more joy in heaven. There's a great celebration in heaven." Every time somebody comes to Christ, heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. He's waiting for some of you this morning. He's waiting with arms wide open. How many of you can remember where you were on 9/11 when the World Trade Center was hit and the towers fell? Can you remember where you were? I remember where I was. I was at a Bible camp in northern Minnesota. I was there alone. My wife was 100 and some miles away from me and my family. When I heard that news, I got in my car and headed for the house. America thought they were at war. Remember? There was a man by the name of David Carnes. I don't know if you ever heard that name before. David Carnes. David Carnes lived in Wilton, Connecticut. David was recently retired from the U.S. Marines after 23 years. He was working as an accountant in an office when the news came on that the towers had been hit. The office staff was watching it on television. David Carnes said to his boss, "Sir, I'm going to have to leave. I can't stay here. I have to go. I have to try to do something. I'll be back." He got in his car. He went to his house where he kept his Marine fatigues pressed and ready to go. He took his suit off and put his fatigues on, his stripes on them. Got in his car and drove like 60 to New York City. When he got there, they had already taken many of the rescue workers out because of the debris and the towers that had fallen. It was about 5:30 in the afternoon. And he began to walk around that scene where they called it the pile. And as he walked around, he noticed another Marine over there in his fatigues. And he went, David met Sergeant Thomas, a black man. And together they walked those grounds and yelled out, "Is anyone there? If you can hear us, yell or tap, make some noise." They walked around for an hour, nothing. After about an hour and a half, they heard a faint sound coming from some of the rubble. And they went immediately and they got some more people and a rescue crew and some heavy equipment, and they worked for 6 hours to pull out a man by the name of Will Geminis. Another man by the name of John McLaughlin. There were 20 people rescued from that tower collapse. Will was number 18. John was number 19. And after 13 hours of being confined and covered with debris and rock and faint voices came. It took him 6 hours to get him out. You see, David Kearns refused to sit idly by. But I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ left his throne in heaven. He set his regal robes aside. He took on a robe of flesh. He was willing to go to a cruel cross where they mocked him, the Son of God, put nails in his hands and in his feet, planted a crown of thorns on his head, and the world would see him. To redeem us from our sin. The tragedy of being lost in the house. The scripture says, let a man examine himself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. The words of the Apostle Paul, examine yourself. See as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Jesus is in you? Unless you fail the test. Paul says we should do a search of our hearts. Let the light shine. Does it line up with the word? Let the Spirit sweep through. Let the Spirit uncover whatever's hidden. We would hide so many things, but God sees it. Test yourself. See whether you be in the faith or not. The Apostle Paul said, I'm careful that lest when I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. It's important to examine our hearts. Folks, you know the Bible says that every time we come to the communion table, 1 Corinthians 11:28, let a man examine himself and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Not to keep us from it, but to search our hearts and see to it that we're in line with God and with God's will. God wants nothing more than to bring us into fellowship with Himself. I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, in this moment, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come in this house in a fresh way. You're here already, Lord, but I just pray that you'd shine the light of Jesus Christ and the Word of God upon our hearts and upon our lives. That you would shine the light of God. Lord, I know that today you want to bring people out of darkness into fellowship with you. You're the light of the world. You're the light that wants to light every man, every heart. Holy Spirit, draw us. Bring conviction on anything in our lives, Lord, that is out of line with your will today. Holy Spirit, draw us. We would allow you to search our hearts. We cry out with the psalmist, search me, O God. Search me. Lead me in the way everlasting. the way of eternity. Holy Spirit, come.